Welcome to Canadian Politique. This is Cameron Bishop.
I'm Leanne Goodman.
Mike McDougall.
And today on the pod, we're winging it, folks. No outline prepared, but I'll give you a hint on what we are talking about. How about Jane Philpott's Maclean's Magazine broadside again against the Prime Minister? And sure, we'll get into that. And you know what else we're going to get into? How Donald Trump thinks it's appropriate to trash the late John McCain, former senator of Arizona. But first, let's talk about what's on everybody's mind. So Jane Philpott today, in an exclusive interview with Paul, conspiracy
Paul
theorist, you know, what was it that he called
the large-headed man. Oh, a catastrophe.
Moral catastrophe. Yes. Yeah, so right. She has done an interview with Paul Wells in which she asserts that she has no leadership ambitions. Of course, Paul doesn't follow up of any of his softball questions with asking if her friend Jody has leadership ambitions, but then goes on to say that there's much, much more to the story than is being reported, that Jody needs another chance to speak, and drip, 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 drip. So I just kind of thrown it out there. Just when things start to die down, there's been a really good budget that was tabled on Tuesday. The federal government lower deficit projections than people thought. They've done some great things in terms of on the Canada Training Grant, which is going to have basically an account, so to speak, or tax credits, so to speak, that will allow Canadians to pursue lifelong learning. There's been some other great things as well in there, but that's all being overshadowed because today Jane Philpott decided that she was going to go and talk to Paul Wells. When is this over?
God, Mar, you're hating her now, eh?
It's not even that I'm so profoundly disappointed in her that it's actually pretty crushing. Like whenever I see this,
yes,
I'm just
sure.
What are you doing? Because this is mutually exclusive. You can't on the one hand say that you support the government and the policies and all this crap, and then on the other go and be delivering broadside after broadside after broadside. This is coordinated. Let's be really honest. This is coordinated, and it will lead to a resignation from caucus by her or Jody or both, or they'll be kicked out just after Selena Caesar-Chavanes, who is a friend of the other two. She left the Liberal caucus today after, you know, her Globe and Mail article from a couple weeks ago where she said that the Prime Minister had been mean to her after she had announced she's not running again, you know, on the same day that Jody Wilson-Raybould resigned from cabinet. So, you know, this is coordinated. And I think that there are some really bad actors at play here in this situation. And I think that it's very disappointing to see Jane Philpott being sucked into this whirlpool of nonsense.
It seems too, it's like a Jerry Maguire moment when they all left. They're like, who's coming with me? And then yesterday, apparently there was a big meeting where the remaining liberals in caucus just destroyed her. Maybe destroyed the
regional caucus.
I made that up. That's my word. But it appears she faced some very tough questions, that the meeting was very contentious. So, you know, when she came out the door, there was no one that came with her except Selena, who's like the water boy that's not even running anymore. Don't even use her in the same sentence as the rest of the two, because she's a nobody and she's gone. Who cares about her? Oh, the Prime Minister yelled at me, so I'm gonna have my moment go away. But the rest, like Philpott, I don't know. I'm like,
well, you know, because I do have such respect for her, I'm like, okay, well, maybe there is something much worse, and Jody hasn't said it or whatever it is. If maybe there is, but then you know what? Fucking say it. Don't hint at it. Like, don't go around it in an interview with Paul Wells. Well, no, there's more to come out. I hate that bullshit. You know something, you think you have an allegation to make, then make it.
Yes.
Don't drag it on and drag it out and tease and be coy about what it is. But, because honestly, so far, I don't find a lot terribly scandalous in this scandal. Like,
I don't think there
it
is
being called a scandal. Like, so what could it be? Another
there's
example
nothing.
In which she...
There's like, nothing. Like, there's literally
there
nothing.
Is something, I don't know.
Well, then
maybe there is something.
So I'm supposed to believe that Jody Wilson-Raybould and apparently now Jane Philpott are the only two people telling the truth. But the Deputy Minister of Justice, the Clerk of the Privy Council, Jerry Butts, they all got up and lied, putting themselves at risk of contempt of Parliament, lied through their teeth in front of people, thereby impugning their reputation and setting themselves up for, you know, a huge shit ton of problems. I'm supposed to believe that the only two people telling the truth in this entire affair are Jody, I can't be bothered to resign on principle and integrity when all this stuff was allegedly going on, Wilson Raybould, and Jane, I think Jody would make a great Indigenous Services Minister until I don't, because Jody is mad that she's being shuffled Philpott. Like, I mean, I just am. I guess to the frustration here, and Leanne, I'd like you to comment on this, because the communication strategy out of PMO has been an epic clusterfuck. They can't settle on a narrative, which I can understand really muddies the water, but are we at the stage where PMO should, you know, throw the gloves down, waive whatever cabinet privileges is remaining, although I don't believe that any actually prevent them from speaking out. They could speak out at any time, including under the confines of the House of Commons. If they wanted to give up and speak on something on an SO31 or what have you, they would be protected under there. Should the PMO just throw down the gloves and then beat the hell out of them figuratively on the issue of leaking cabinet confidences to Bob Fyfe? Like, well, this honestly, is crap.
I don't know what I struggled trying to figure out what the crisis communications plan could be for them, other than to try to change the narrative, like, you know, get people moving on to a good news story, because I'm sure they've been bewildered and flustered. And we've talked about this before, because I don't think that they did anything wrong, and they don't feel that they did anything wrong. So they're sort of having to contain this scandal where they don't know, like, what else can we say other than that isn't what happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a tough one to, you know, and also it's not resonating with people. I'm sorry. I was at a dinner party in Collingwood on the weekend, and that's a pretty fucking conservative group up there of snowboarders and old money, you know, like lifetime members of the Alpine Ski Club. And I asked people at this dinner party, like, are you paying attention to the SNC-Lavalin story? No.
Yeah,
like, do you think it's a problem for him? Like, they don't even understand it, for one thing. And then they just think it has something to do with fraud, but it's not the government that's fraudulent. It was SNC-Lavalin that's fraudulent. So the government's trying to do something to ensure that the company doesn't totally go bankrupt. Isn't that what it is? And isn't that okay? And these are conservatives. So I don't honestly think it's resonating with a lot of voters, but I don't know. I haven't even looked at the latest polls. Has it really hurt them?
The Liberals are down.
I don't know.
They're down. They're down.
Is it because of this? I don't know.
Ostensibly. I mean, ostensibly, the last poll I saw had the Liberals sitting at, I think it was 32.7, and the Conservatives were at like 35.3.
But is it this or those idiots in Alberta running around with yellow vests on?
Yeah.
You know,
the thing that has really alarmed me, that this has brought to the fore that I wasn't really seeing before, is this weird, visceral, like, angry, almost frightening hatred for Trudeau that I knew it was going on out in the West, but that tweet she had out the other day.
What did she
was
say?
No better than anything that Trump has tweeted. It's exactly out of Trump's place. It was just this mean, nasty tweet about Trudeau personally. It was very personal. Somebody sent it to me who I work with, who's a conservative, and I want to
talk
about
it. This is it.
Stop.
Is it this?
It could have been
right
Trump.
Now. I am watching Trudeau laugh and smirk at us. The image, his utter contempt for all of us, for our democratic institutions, for everything save his own ego, is burned into my mind and fuels my resolve to fight for my community and my country. May it do the same for you. If only she'd discovered her resolve to fight for community and country when Stephen Harper was raping the institutions
honestly,
of Parliament.
What the fuck is that? Like, I found that to be a scary tweet. That is insightful. Like, she's trying to, no, I don't mean insightful, S-I-G-H-T. I mean, she's trying to incite hatred towards the guy. And is that what we're doing now? Like, is that where we are in this country now? We've decided that instead of looking down south of the border in horror, we're going to take pages from that book. I mean, we know the conservatives are doing it, but I hadn't realized until this scandal how vitriolic and really ugly the Trudeau hatred is, and it makes me nervous.
Well, that vile pig, pardon me, Candace Bergen. No, don't pardon me. That vile pig, Candace Bergen, is standing up in the House of Commons screaming that he's a fake feminist because apparently they're not letting Jody speak. What Jody had 4 fucking hours to speak and tell her truth that was suddenly downgraded to detailed summary when actual facts came into play. But Candace Bergen standing up screaming about what, and I mean, you talk about hatred. She looks like she's positively unhinged. Like, talk about the witches of East Bloc. So Michelle Rempel, Candace Bergen, and there's probably a third one in there that I'm not too sure. Pierre Poilievre will throw into that witch's coven, because it is just the three of them are just absolutely unhinged partisan hacks. And for them to be screaming about anything related to women's rights or feminism is, I mean, it is to laugh if it wasn't just so fucking sad.
It's just so anti-productive. Like, I thought we weren't that country. Like, I thought we were, there was a certain civility, even under Harper. Like, let's face it, as bad as things got under Harper, it still stayed somewhat civil, right? Mm. Like, nobody was out there saying that he was on Twitter saying he was evil. No Liberal or NDP politician I ever saw was suggesting he was evil and contemptuous and smirking at the rest of the country. Like, it's just nasty. And I hate it. And this SNC-Lavalin stuff is just fueling it. That's what disturbs me about it. But I just come out with it. Like, yeah. Whatever it is, just fucking come out with it and stop being coy and playing games and idiot.
Good. Mike, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I mean, the Conservatives are behaving. It's appalling at how they're behaving right now. Andrew Scheer is, I mean, there's nothing more I can say that I haven't said about the guy. He is just an unelectable, unlikable guy. But the Liberal Party, you know, with all due respect, they're really kind of imploding from within in a sense, right? I mean, you've got people that call themselves liberals, whether they are or whether they're not, that are just their attacks. I mean, look, this is the only time I'm going to say it, but I'll say it. Like, you see people like the Kinsellas out there that are just, they call themselves liberals, but their mandate appears like they're made their mission to just try to bring down the Trudeau government. And like, how do you combat the fights outside of your party when you have these big fights from within as well?
Yeah. I mean, I just...
Although Kinsella has been sort of in the doghouse for many, many years, right? The Liberal Party wouldn't touch him anymore, and that's fueling, especially against Trudeau. He tried to get in. He thought once Trudeau got in, he was going to get back in, and he was, you know, denied entry, and he's had an axe to grind ever since. He's got it out for Trudeau. So how this lunatic has managed to reimmerse himself into a big Canadian political story, I do not understand. I know he has.
Yeah.
I know.
It's crazy.
It's shocking.
You know, if I were the prime minister today, honestly, I mean, first of all, this would not have happened under Harper.
He's taking questions right now.
Oh, I'm sure
he is. He's actually taking questions right now about the Philpott interview. I'm not sure what he's saying. I'll let you guys know when I see.
But Harper, Chrétien, you could even probably argue Paul Martin. I mean, when he kicked out Carolyn Parrish, that was related to the anti-American stuff ostensibly, but then they booted her out because she criticized the leader. I mean, I'm sorry, you can do politics differently and lose, or you can do politics the way that people like Chrétien and Harper did it. Take the gloves off, kick these two women out of caucus, and if they want to take a few people with them, then take a few people with them, because I think that's the play. And stop letting them, we've said this over and over, I think I'm almost like out of breath with saying it, but they need to take command of this. And that means lancing the boil, getting them out, letting them speak, telling them to fuck off because they're not running as liberals. And they clearly, frankly, have a very, you know.
They need those seats though, Cameron. They can't just get rid of
seats. And it's a hard thing to, I think Harper would have struggled with this too. You've got an Indigenous woman, the country's first Indigenous justice minister, and another very highly respected woman in the Me Too era. I don't know what you do.
Well,
it's a tough one.
Yeah.
If it was Scott Bryson and, you know, some other white guy, it would be one thing. It's two highly respected women, one of whom is indigenous. So I don't think Harper would have known what to do or would
boot
have
him.
Kicked them out. And
boot them out.
I'm not sure he would have. I don't know if he would have.
I would, because I'll tell you something. They are trying to take the prime minister and this government down from the inside and putting at risk lots of progress. Anybody out there really think that Candace Bergen suddenly gives a shit about women of color or indigenous women or children living in poverty? Come on. Come on. So if Jane Philpott and Jody Wilson-Raybould want to run a rearguard, you know, assault against this government and the prime minister, then they need to be held accountable and they need to be removed from caucus. Make them go sit as independents. They're not truth tellers at all. This is petty politics and look at me. I need attention and I'm tired of it. Like, I'm tired of it.
Well,
and I can't believe
I
I'm saying it about
Philpott. Why are they forcing him to boot them? If she has such little respect for the party and the leader that she's talking to Paul Wells, why doesn't she leave caucus?
I think
they're daring, but
what's going to happen is what happened with that Selena yesterday. And I, you know, in full disclosure, I had wanted to have her on the pod, last year, I think it was, and we couldn't ever make it work. Now I'm embarrassed I ever extended the invitation. But with her, when she was caught up with by the press after she left, she shows up at caucus yesterday and then she resigns from caucus. But, you know, if you read between the lines at Ontario caucus and national caucus, it sounds like Philpott and Cesar Chavanes got an absolutely blistering broadside by their colleagues. And I think that prompted Selena to say, because she said it to the media, she said, well, I'm leaving because I've become a distraction and I don't want to derail the work of the government and the party anymore. Fine. And that's exactly what's going to happen with Jody Wilson, Raybould and Jane Philpott. They will either be forced out or they will resign on principle and one will follow the other. And they will then make some, you know, this is going to continue the drip, drip, drip. This is all coordinated. And this is all coordinated.
By who, though?
Well,
yeah,
I don't want to be Charlie Day with my red string, right? But like, who's?
And I don't think Warren Kinsella has that kind of power. So who's
I don't think he does either.
I think it's Jody. I think it's Jody coordinating with a number of different folks. And I wouldn't be surprised if her old man's in part of this as well. This is a 40-year grudge from the Wilsons that is unfolding in front of the country.
Then why did she run for him?
I don't know. But it was apparently we're not allowed to move. Oh, that was the other thing. There was somebody asserting that, you know, it was wrong. I think it was Candace Bergen or Lisa Raitt. At this point, they all blend together into, you know, banshees. But they, you know, there was some claim made that, you know, it was wrong to move Jody Wilson-Raybould, you know, notwithstanding the fact that Lisa Raitt had called her a liar and an incompetent, and Charlie Angus of the NDP had said that in December that for his Christmas gift, he wished that Jody Wilson-Raybould would be demoted or kicked out of cabinet for being a firing and incompetent. All that to say, I could go on, but I can't anymore because we need to switch topics. I do think that there needs to be a little bit more of a steel spine and a velvet punch here or a velvet glove with a steel fist, because this is imperiling the government. And I think that is the plan. But if Dr. Philpott or Jody Wilson-Raybould really believe that liberals will not remember what they've done if there is a leadership played in the future, they better think again. And if they want to make their floor crossing, they best do it now, because I know I'm tired of this. Okay. Let's talk really quickly, switching tacks first to the election in Alberta. That was called this week.
Fucking smart move.
So Jason Kenney is embroiled right now in a scandal where he allegedly colluded with the rival or one of the candidates in the United Conservative Party leadership race to take out Brian Jean, who was then the head of the Wild Rose Party. And this is the United Conservative Party was the effort by Kenney and Jean to successfully united the parties. And then they had a leadership race for that United Party. And apparently there has been it's all now in front of the RCMP, but apparently Jason Kenney and his campaign allegedly were funneling money to this third candidate that was in the race, feeding him lines to it and, you know, media like, I guess, media hits or videos or what have you to take out Brian Jean, which was successful. And Brian Jean is now out of politics. But it's seeming pretty good timing for the NDP to drop the writ, which they did this past week.
It's so smart of her.
And she's like, up.
It was brilliant.
She's up a little bit in the polls. I mean,
well,
she's
compared
still
to
got
him, she looks, compared to him, she looks amazing, right? Like, he looks like he's floundering and lying and sweaty and having asthma attacks, sort of the way Andrew Scheer does every fucking day. I stole that one from Mike.
Well, right? I brought that up, actually.
He looks great by comparison.
I have a really good buddy that works for the federal liberals, and I brought up the Andrew Scheer asthma attack thing, and you know, he basically said, like, dude has four kids and he's out of shape, like, what do you expect? And I was like, fair enough. But he also told me that she was 6'7", which I didn't know.
Who?
Andrew Scheer.
Scheer? No.
Yeah, apparently
I've been at a
I have
barbecue.
It on, apparently 6'7".
I never recall. He's tall, but I would say maybe 6'3", 6'4". I don't know. I don't recall him being that tall.
I mean, he's not a Scheer fan. He has no reason
barbecue.
To. He has no reason to embellish Scheer's size. He was saying it in the context of
6'4", Mike. I just checked. He's 1.93 meters.
Your
so
friend lied about it.
My friend lied. If you're listening, I'm not going to say your name. You're a liar.
He is tall. Well, maybe he is tall, and if maybe you just saw him standing on a grade, you would have thought
my friend
taller.
Is short too. So,
well, there you go.
But we have, well, I guess, yeah. When you're 4'5", I mean, everybody looks like a
looks
giant.
Like a giant.
But the only thing is he's not a jolly giant. He's just this angry, like,
sweaty,
terrified. He seems scared all the time to me. Like he's like shivering and trembling.
Well, back
because
to,
you know that shoe's going to drop, right? Like he promised SNC-Lavalin a lot, and that shoe will drop soon. Anyway,
but back to Alberta. So Jason Kenney, of course, is embroiled in scandal. Rachel Notley is launched her campaign. She has 28 days. The vote will be held on April the 16th. The Conservatives in Alberta are leading with 50% of the vote. The NDP is 15 points back. At 35%. And then you've got like the nominal parties like the Liberals and the Alberta Party each pulling around 6 or 7%. I still submit that if one person can do it, it's Rachel Notley. And you know, brilliant timing. I would have preferred she waited another 6 months, but I think she said this week that if she had to wait for the RCMP to complete their job into investigating wrongdoings by the Conservatives, she said she'd never have an election, which I thought was pretty good. But we're all pulling for you on the pod here, Rachel. I think you're, I do believe you can win, but you got to work hard.
God, he would be so humiliated if she kicked his ass.
Well, I was at a dinner, and I think I told you this before, or I've told our listeners that I was at a dinner this past summer at Stampede, and somebody asked him, it was a room full, I would say 2/3 were conservatives, 1/3 were progressive voters, and Kenny was taking Q&A. And people, was doing Q&A, and somebody asked him if he were to lose the election, what would he chalk that up to? Like, would you know, and or, you know, like, what would be some of the reasons for that? And he goes, "Well, then I'd be massively incompetent." Mm-hmm. And I thought, boy, you're an arrogant little shit, eh? You know, it couldn't have to do with her being, you know, a better politician or maybe something's turned around or people kind of looking at, no, it was just that it's massively incompetent. This also comes long before his screw up in the last couple of weeks where he said that women don't have the same tactical appreciation for politics as men do. I know, it's so great, and that's fine.
And then
the arrogance.
And then she calls an election.
Yep.
Right?
That's the
Brilliant.
Arrogance. So now let's go south and talk about Donald Trump. So this week he has trashed American war hero and former POW John McCain. He doesn't like POWs anyway. He doesn't like people who are
caught
in war.
He prefers people that were not captured.
Yes, exactly. He prefers that. So he is now upset. He has reopened the John McCain debate. Of course, the difference is John McCain is not here to fight his battles for him.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump is standing up saying that he never got a thank you from anybody for giving John McCain a state funeral. that John McCain, he said in the Oval Office this week, he was never a fan of John McCain. He thought he wasn't a great person. And he's doubled down on this crap that he was basically a warmongering fascist who probably got what was coming to him. And the Republicans, for the most part, say nothing. a couple of Republican senators have said something, but I mean, what has
happened? Especially Lindsey Graham, his old best friend, his closeted old best friend. Where was he? Why does Lindsey Graham not? Meghan McCain came out and said something, but you know, where is where are all his friends in Congress? Honestly, what kind of classless loser starts taking shots at a person, a dead person? Like, I'm not one of these people who believes. In fact, I intensely disagree with the whole sentiment, never talk ill of the dead. You know, the dead person is an asshole. You can talk as ill about them as you like. But, you know, he was a pretty respected and admired politician. Still grieving family members out there, right?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of a dick?
Well, he did it at a military conference yesterday. He did it at in front of uniformed members of the United States Armed Forces. He trashed John McCain, and apparently, I've seen the clip. It was totally quiet in there, and he just doesn't care.
He's feuding with a dead man.
Even worse, though. Even worse, I would say, than the John McCain thing, because that's obviously awful. But to show the character of that man, Trump, I'm talking about, you have to look at, you know, where George Conway on Twitter,
who's Kellyanne's
husband. So yeah, he's been trashing Donald Trump on Twitter. He's really is, at the end of the day, he's a nobody. He's only famous because he's Kellyanne Conway's husband. But yesterday, George Conway, or 2 days ago, implied that Donald Trump had a mental illness, and Donald Trump made Kellyanne Conway, who is not his media spokesperson. His media spokesperson is, what's her face, Aunt Lydia from The Handmaid's Tale. Sarah Huckabee. He made Kellyanne Conway go in front of the cameras and talk shit about her own husband to defend him. And that is clearly a loyalty test that Donald Trump did for Kellyanne Conway. And I mean, obviously she's a terrible person for doing it, but who does that? Who makes their employee publicly denounce their family to defend your boss? Who does that?
Dictators, you know, the guy in North Korea.
Or mentally ill old men.
Right. And yeah, Putin, old, mentally ill dictators.
George Conway said it well, and he keeps ribbing him now, is that he's posted about narcissistic personality disorder. He's posting stuff about, and he's responding to everything and calling him not stable.
And then didn't he say that he doesn't like me because I wouldn't hire him? And then he came out with a job offer on Donald Trump's letterhead offering him a job.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Also, I was incorrect about Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham actually did say, I think the president's comments about Senator McCain hurt him more than they hurt the legacy of Senator McCain. I don't like it when he says things about my friend John McCain. I don't like it.
But he'll still kiss his ass, do his bidding, and go golfing with him. Yeah, okay,
yeah, and
Lindsey.
Deny any Russian collusion because they've got something on him.
Oh, I think we know what they've got on him. Compromat, yeah. My friends. Lastly, I just want to make one statement here because this was a tough week for the world to witness 50 people being killed in mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. That was tragic. There was a 74-page manifesto by the shooter where he basically, I mean, I'm not even going to name
it's
the
awful.
Shooter, but it's awful.
No doubt.
And the shooter basically goes off on, you know, every racist trope you can imagine. Frankly, a lot of the things that he says are being said by a lot of the yellow vesters here in Canada. But regardless of that, at this point, he hurt a lot of people and hurt a cause of pluralism and diversity. In some respects, he thought he did rather, but I think it came out. We all came out stronger in the end. But very sad week for New Zealand, very sad week for the world, very sad week again for the Islamic community. And I'm not too sure where this stops. I don't know how this gets fixed when we have people like Trump and Scheer and others, Maxime Bernier, who are out there happily stoking these flames and these fires and these fears of difference.
Yes, stoking the hatred of dumb people to get elected. It's deplorable.
The politics of
fear.
But,
you know, social media companies too, right? Like that thing was being live streamed and it was up, that video was being passed around all over the place for about 24 hours before they were able to cut it down.
Yeah.
I wrote a piece today for Provident Comms about, you know, social media has to step up. right? They've got to do, there's all sorts of things they can be
doing.
They're
not going to step up.
Well, there are things that they could do, and there's recognizing those things, like take down any flag content immediately and then assess it later. Like if somebody's saying this needs to go, you just nuke it. You don't even ask questions and then assess it later, especially in the midst of a terrorist attack or a big world event, you know? And they can limit the sharing of content the way WhatsApp does, and there's all sorts of that. They can share content databases so that if anything that gets deleted on one platform would be automatically deleted on another. There's things they can do, and they should be doing.
Ralph Goodale said today that the government is looking, Ralph Goodale is the public safety minister, says that the government is looking at whether they decide to force social media companies to remove extreme content. And I think that, or extremist content. And I think it's long, long overdue, because the hate fest on Twitter and I guess Tumblr and Instagram and Facebook, it's vile and it's dangerous.
And the thing is, we're in an era where jobs are being lost over because of technological disruption. So here's something that will require actual human eyes. Like, it's not stuff that you can rely on AI to catch or nuke. Right? Like, they may be able to pick up little keywords, but that doesn't necessarily mean the whole post is objectionable. So here's a case where we want to create jobs for people. Like, social media, step up, hire thousands of people to start monitoring this content and get rid of it immediately.
Agreed.
It actually needs human eyes and human brains to look at it.
Well, agreed.
On that note, we'll wrap it up, but I'm sure the ongoing saga...
I'm going to go tweet out something angry.
Good.
I hope it gets taken down.
Basically, my Twitter feed, as Mike said the other day,
you'd be taken right off Twitter.
But I guess this is the thing. Mike said mine is basically like a therapy journal where I just like lace out on my thoughts at the time. That is my Twitter feed. My Twitter feed has just become a diarrhea of my emotions. But
I have noticed that.
Well, what can I say? I say, I'm the Bridget Jones of anger on Twitter.
You're the Alex Jones of the Canadian Liberal Party.
I wrote something today saying, don't post anything on social media unless it will elicit, make somebody smile or bring somebody some happiness. Make that your rule.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.